Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Hey, it's Latif from Radiolab. Our goal with each episode is to make you think, how did I live this long and not know that? Radiolab, adventures on the edge of what we think we know. Listen wherever you get podcasts.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC, and now a call-in for listeners from Brazil. Tell us in your words what the big protests there are all about. 212-433-WNYC. If you have any connection to Brazil, maybe you're an immigrant from Brazil, maybe you have family there, maybe you go back and forth for business, but if you get it, tell us in your own words what the big protests in Brazil this week are all about. Would you help the rest of us understand it? 212-433-WNYC, 212-433-9692. For everyone else, you probably heard about the massive protests throughout Brazil that have been gathering momentum over the past few weeks, with an estimated 100,000 demonstrators gathering in Rio on Monday. The protests have continued through this week and aren't limited to Rio. We've seen them in places like Sao Paulo and Brasilia and other major cities. But listeners with ties to Brazil, anybody listening right now who is Brazilian or who knows Brazil, what is the protest movement about exactly? We know this is unusual for Brazil. So we're opening up the phones right now for a community call-in for any Brazilians here in New York or any people with connections to Brazil in New York. Tell this story people to people. We don't want to always have to go to reporters and international analysts. Let us know if you are Brazilian or if you go back and forth or if you have family there or if you do business there. What's happening in Brazil? Why is there a protest movement there right now? What's important to you? What should be important to the world about this? 212-433-WNYC. 212-433-9692, and we'll take your calls on the air right after this. So what's really going on in Brazil? It's a 9-cent bus fare hike that's in the headlines. But Veronica in Manhattan, thanks for calling. And what else can you tell us?
I think that it's a way deeper issue. It's kind of hard to stand by and pay, you know, about 26% of your income per month on transportation that's really unreliable, to have to wait outside for hours to get, like, basic vaccines, to have, you know, poor health care, really bad public schools, and then to watch your government spend billions and billions on stadiums and, you know, events and things that they say will spike tourism and make money for locals.
Some of this a backlash to the fact that the World Cup next year and the Olympics in 2016 are coming to Brazil?
I think that's part of it, but I think this is a thing that's been building up for some time. And as great and as, like, appreciative everyone is of having the chance to host these events, it's just a thing that's not necessary right now. And I think the people of Brazil think that there are way better ways to spend that money.
Veronica,
I agree.
Thank you so much for calling. I appreciate it. Val in Queens, hi. Are you from Brazil originally?
Yes, I am.
And what do you think about what Veronica just said?
I agree with what she had just said. Also, the fact that people somehow for the longest time have been living in pretty much denial, waiting for carnival and parties. And I think the injustice system have just finally caught up with them. And I feel that the country is really waking up to a reality only after seeing the build of our stadiums for the upcoming Olympics. and World Cup, I see, I think they see the contrast. They see luxury being built. They see some of the roads been, you know, the infrastructure being rebuilt. Mm-hmm. At the same time, they see education system failing, the health system failing. They live in fear. The violence is increasing, and the corruption and the corrupted politician getting away with it. So I think people just had enough.
Val, thank you so much for checking in with us. I really appreciate it. And I want to bring in Brian Winter, who is the Thomson Reuters Brazil correspondent. Brian, hello from New York. Thanks for joining us for a few minutes.
Hi from Sao Paulo. It's my pleasure.
And it sounds like from our first two callers that we're hearing a reflection of this chant that really jumps out at me when I see the coverage, and the chant is, schools, not stadiums. Is that kind of the heart of it here?
I'm not sure it's the heart of it. I mean, I think it's important to look back at where Brazil has been for the last 10 years. This is a country that has seen massive progress in terms of pulling people out of poverty, in terms of economic growth, in terms of just general stabilization of the economy. And that has brought a lot of people into the middle class. It has been pretty evenly distributed growth that has improved the lives, at least economically, of a lot of people. But it's also created new problems. And for a long time, that growth was enough, and people were pretty happy with the fact that they weren't as poor as they used to be. But now,
because what we hear in the, what we hear in the U.S. over the last, I think, 10 years, as you say, is these, you know, pretty glowing reports about what Lula da Silva was able to accomplish and now Dilma Rousseff.
That's right. But what's happening now? What's happening now is people have got that new job. Maybe they've got their TV or refrigerator in their house, and that's great. But now they're looking at the fact that they have to spend 2.5 hours in order to get to that job because the buses are crowded and the highways are crowded. And, and this really was a country that just didn't invest enough over the past 10 years as it was growing to accommodate all the improvements that they saw.
Let's take another call. Katerina in Queens. Katerina, thanks so much for calling us.
Oh, thank you for taking my call. I personally feel that this is long overdue. I am so happy that these demonstrations are taking place. I regret that some of it is violent, but the country has put up with it so much that it, you know, enough is enough. Monies that should have been allotted to, you know, programs for welfare, for education, this money has gone elsewhere. Dilma Rousseff, you know, is just another Lula. And
when you say just another Lula, I mean, Lula, to many people, had this glowing reputation of somebody who reclaimed Latin American socialism in a way, coming in as the socialist president, but also with a growth bent, and managed to walk that line for a new way to success. Is that not how you see him?
Listen, I believe that Lula was, he was a, how would you say in English, obrero, middle class man, okay? Mm-hmm. He did a lot with the union in his time. He did come in, and I'm not going to say he did not do stuff for lesser people, okay, with the baskets and some jobs and making things accessible. But it is not what should have been going on. I think so much more could have been done for Brazil while he was there. And you know, it's just, it's very sad. It's a country that should not have to go through what it's going through right now. And the money that's been put into all these venues with the Confederations Cup, and then you have the World Cup, and then you've got the Olympics after that. In the meantime, it takes my friend in Sao Paulo 3.5 hours to get from her house to downtown. And you have to get on the bus at 4 o'clock in the morning to get to a job at 9 o'clock.
Incredible.
It doesn't make any sense.
Katerina, thank you so much for checking in with us. And Brian Winter from Reuters, I guess what we're hearing from her, what we're hearing from you, is that in a way this is the result of growth. You know, we hear about Brazil with envy in this country these days, the BRIC countries, Brazil, Russia, India, China, growing faster than the United States, but the infrastructure hasn't kept up with the private economy, maybe.
Yeah, sometimes, I mean, to draw a U.S. parallel, the 60s in the U.S. were at a time when the economy was relatively good. And it was that good economy and a post-war generation and a youth bulge that, I mean, I'm oversimplifying a bit, right, but that allowed people to focus on some of these issues like civil rights and Vietnam. And it's without comparing what's happening here yet to the 60s, I think that may be what we're seeing here in a much smaller scale.
Also, people in the U.S., for the most part, don't have a sense, I think, of the favelas, of the very widespread, really bad poverty that Brazil still has, yes?
Well, I think that's right. I mean, this is still a quite poor and very unequal country. It must be said that another part that has so far been a strength of this protest movement, and that I suspect may turn into a weakness here very quickly, is that it's very inclusive, and virtually every Brazilian with a grievance, which, you know, is a lot of people because there's a lot to complain about, has been attracted to this primarily because of that. And that's why you see so many different answers as to what are these protests about. It's because everybody's right.
Yeah, and everybody has something. We just have 15 seconds left. But again, picking up on what I've heard from our caller correspondents, do you think that this source of pride, getting the World Cup, getting the Olympics, is turning into a source of backlash?
Oh, unquestionably, there's backlash among some people. And you look at the costs of the stadiums and other things here in a country where, you know, they've underinvested in schools and public transportation and all these other things. I mean, yes, that's a very legitimate source of complaint. Although I do still think that the image that both having the World Cup and the Olympics, that positivity that's created for Brazil
Ryan
and the
Winter
world is still pretty high.
From Reuters in Brazil, and thank you all very much for your calls with your ties to Brazil. Okay.